Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go to the movies and let's talk about the movies. Hey, welcome to another edition of Movie Talk with Vince. I'm Vince. What a surprise. And this is Movie Talk. If it's Movie Talk, I must be Vince. I must be, and I am. So Movie Talk with Vince is right now. Did you get it? That's Movie Talk. It's Vince. Me. Hey, how you doing? Welcome back. This week, I'm going to talk a little bit about a movie called Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. It just opened up this weekend. I just came back from watching it. I'm going to give you not my review, but my gut reaction to the film. And I'll tell you why in a bit. But, yes, so tonight, it's going to be Ant-Man and the Wasp. Enjoy. Let's go to the movie. All right, before we get started, let me warn you, you're going to hear a lot of my opinion. I'm going to give you my opinion of the movie Ant-Man and the Wasp and maybe some other stuff, who knows. And so just be warned, you're going to hear my opinion, and it may not be yours. So, hey, that's fine. And remember, my opinion is subject to change at a moment's notice. Maybe tomorrow, maybe by the end of this show, I'll change my mind. Who knows? But just remember, you're going to hear my opinion, so enjoy it and take it for what it's worth, which is... well, probably about $1.95. My opinion is kind of expensive. Like $1.95. Anyway, so also don't forget, I'm going to do my best. I swear to God on my life, I promise I'm going to try as hard as I can not to give away any spoilers. But I can't help it. I may say something that you might go, "Ooh, I didn't want to know that." Well, if that's the case, I apologize ahead of time. So be warned, if you haven't seen Ant-Man and the Wasp yet, or any other movies that I'm trying to talk about, then just be warned, I might reveal something that you might not have wanted to know. I hope not, but I'm going to do my best to try to stay away from that. So just be forewarned. So, and also, don't forget, if you want to call in, if you just saw Ant-Man as well, or you're looking forward to seeing it, and you have your opinion, you want to share it with me, please share. The guest call-in number for Movie Talk with Vince is, as always, area code 914-205-5404. One more time, 914-205-5404. Dial that number. Give me a call. Let me know what you feel. 914-205-5404. Let's sing it. 914-205-5404. One more time. 914. Anyway, so Movie Talk with Vince. Here we go. Let's talk a little bit about Ant-Man and the Wasp. So first of all, let me tell you why I am not going to give you my review of the film, or at least what I'm going to talk about this week. I don't want to call a review. Here's why. So I'm not a big fan of reviews, and the reason why is because reviews are just someone else's opinion. And too many people, I feel, and me included, me very much included, put too much weight on other people's opinions on something that should not really matter that much. In other words, your opinion is the only one that you really care about. You shouldn't worry about what other people say about a movie, especially a movie, or any other kind of entertainment thing, like a piece of music or a television show or a play or whatever. Anything that you do to be entertaining, you shouldn't worry about what another person's opinion is. And that's all a review is. A review is someone who went to go see the movie and said, "This is what I think." And too many people look at that and go, "Oh, well, it's a terrible movie." Well, why was it a terrible movie? Well, critic John Q. Critic, which is a really weird name for a critic, but hey, John Q. Critic just said, "This movie sucked." So I guess the movie sucked because he said it. Well, guess what? It did to him, but it may not to you. So as I always say every week, don't take my word for it. Go to the movie. Go check it out. If you saw the trailers for Ant-Man and you're thinking, "I would like to see that," then don't listen to what I have to say. Don't make what I have to say sway you from going to see it or not. Go see it. You may hate the movie. You may love the movie. But what I have to say about the movie isn't going to matter. It's what's your opinion. That's all that really matters. Anyway, so there's my soapbox. I should probably get off of it. And hold on. Let me... Oops. I just tripped and fell. And now I broke my leg. So hopefully we'll be okay. Anyway, so what is my gut reaction to Ant-Man and the Wasp? Well, first of all, my gut reaction was it was a hell of a lot of fun. I walked out of that movie, you know, feeling happy. And that's the best thing you can do, that a movie can do for you, is make you feel happy. And I saw it happen because it was a good, it was a roller coaster ride. And, you know, it was like going to the amusement park, going on a roller coaster, going on the Ferris wheel or whatever, any kind of a ride. And you often, it maybe didn't mean anything, but it made you happy. And that's all, that's, to me, that's the, if that's the only thing a movie did for you and made you happy, well, then it was a good movie. Because that's the best thing, anything can be done, is to make somebody happy. So I walked out of the Ant-Man, I felt very happy. I got my money's worth, in my opinion. It was enjoyable. It was funny at points. It was action-packed. The special effects were off the chart amazing. Very much on par with anything the Marvel films have done in the past. And, of course, anything that James Cameron is doing with his Avatar movies and whatever. It's very, you know, it visually it's a brilliantly looking film. And overall, I just thought, wow, I love this movie. It was great for me. Type of movie. So if you want to have my opinion on whether or not you should or whatever, you should see it. I will say, if you are a big fan of the Avengers films, you're already going to see it. And you're already going to make up your own mind. So there you go. But if you want to know a little bit about whether or not you know what to expect, shall I say? It's very different from the other Ant-Man films. And it's one of the things that I think I did like about it is the fact that it was different. It wasn't just Ant-Man 3. This was its own separate thing. It wasn't because the first Ant-Man film touches on the quantum realm, and anybody who hasn't seen the film, let me explain that. In essence, we learn that this scientist, Dr. Hank Pym, again, anybody seen the movie, you already know this, has created this suit that can make you shrink down to the size of an ant. But he's also discovered that it is possible to continue to shrink till you are the size of, you're smaller than a molecule. And at that point, you enter what is known as the quantum realm, which is this alternate universe in which subatomic particles live. And in that universe, time is different. Time almost doesn't even matter. Time doesn't operate the same way. Existence doesn't exist the same way. It's this microscopic universe that is completely different and alien to ours, to our universe. And he discovers that going down that small is very, very dangerous because he doesn't know if you can ever come back. And it can drive you mad, and you can also end up, you know, universes in alternate time. So it's just a very dangerous thing. And you see that briefly in the first film. In the second film, they delve more into that because we discovered from the first film that his wife had gone into the quantum realm and disappeared and never been seen again. Well, spoiler alert, they go into the quantum realm in the second film and they manage to bring her back. This film now builds on that storyline, and now Michelle Pfeiffer comes back as Janet Van Dyne, the wife of the original inventor of the Ant-Man suit, Hank Pym, and played by Michael Douglas. And the two of them come back, and of course, Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly, they come back as the new Ant-Man and the Wasp. But the story takes place, 90% of the film is in the quantum realm. And that's altogether different from the other films. Like I said, the quantum realm is mentioned and seen briefly in the first film, seen more in the second film. This one now is, the entire film is pretty much in the quantum realm. Spoiler alert. So from that standpoint, this was a very interesting movie because it was so different. The other films take place in the real world, and the quantum realm is mentioned and is seen, but isn't as isn't as important as this one. Is this one, there's like very rare, there's very little done in our universe, in the real world, or whatever world you want to call it. For me, I love that. I love the fact that, okay, this was now a different type of movie. This wasn't just seeing the first two Ant-Man films all over again, just seeing another whatever type of adventure. This one was very, very different and very exciting. The humor was there. Paul Rudd is probably one of the funniest guys, one of the funniest straight actors I could see, because he can do comedy, he can do drama, he's great. But he's not a comedian like, say, Will Ferrell. So when Paul Rudd appears in movies like the Will Ferrell, the Anchorman film, he holds his own. But Will Ferrell is a comic. Will Ferrell started off on Saturday Night Live. Paul Rudd, I think, supposedly did audition for Saturday Night Live, but didn't make it. Or maybe he didn't. I'm not sure. For some reason, I think he did, but didn't make it. But Paul Rudd, I don't think he ever did stand-up comedy or was ever that type of actor. Most of the stuff he does, romantic comedies and these Avengers films, but he doesn't do straight, anybody very rarely in the originally did straight on comedies that he starred in. If he did straight on comedies like Anchorman, it was because he was a side character or one of parts of the ensemble. But he holds his own because he is just a genuinely funny person. And he's got a great sense of humor. He holds his own against the top comics of the world. And even though he never, as far as I know, like I said, he's never done stand-up comedy, I like to think he could if he wanted to. But anyway, so he's one of the reasons why casting him as Ant-Man is so perfect, because he brings a sense of humor to the film. Because, I mean, let's face it, the superpower of being able to shrink down to the size of an ant is not that impressive. Flashback to 1977 or so, on an episode of Saturday Night Live, when Bill Murray was still on the cast. It's funny, you know, the thing with this. Anyway, talk about that in a second. A thought just came to my head about Bill Murray. Anyway, Bill Murray was in the cast, and they did this episode. I forget who the host was. I don't remember. I do remember who the host was. It was Margot Kidder. That's right, Margot Kidder, who had made the first Superman by that point. So this is probably like 78. So this new Superman film had been out. And she hosted the show, and they did a skit where I believe Bill Murray plays Superman, and Superman is giving a party at his house. He and Lois Lane are married, and they're doing it. And they're having a dinner party, as of course all the superheroes are coming, and they don't go by it's only just DC, whatever. They have DC and Marvel comic people come in. So Spider-Man is there, the Hulk comes, the Flash comes, and Ant-Man comes. Ant-Man, of course, in that episode was played by the exceptionally underrated and incredibly great Garrett Morris. He comes, and they make fun of him because Ant-Man, when he comes in, like, who are you again? And Flash, and I forget who the other, I don't think it's Superman. I think it's Flash and someone else, start making fun of him because his superpowers, he can shrink down to the size of an ant and retain the strength of a human being. And they're like, well, that's not that very strong. That's not that very impressive. So they start teasing him. Flash forward many years later when they make the first Ant-Man film, remembering that the studio and especially the director of the first Ant-Man film remembered that skit, and it's going to be really funny if they gave Garrett Morris a cameo. So they do. So Garrett Morris does have a cameo in the first Ant-Man film as a cab driver. He has like one line, I think it is. It says, what the? I think that's all he says. But it's funny for anyone my age who remembers that skit and goes, oh my God, that was Garrett Morris. He was the person who donned an Ant-Man suit in real life on film. So there was years before they decided to make an Ant-Man movie, Garrett Morris did. Played him in this skit, and he was hysterical. Flash forward now to this film, no spoiler alert, because this is in the commercial, so most everybody knows this. Another member of that skit also has a cameo in this film, and spoiler alert, it's Bill Murray. But again, I'm not giving anything away because that's in the trailer, so everybody knows that. I won't tell you how small or big of a part he has in the movie. All I'll say is that he is in the movie. His scene or scenes or whatever have not been cut. So he actually is in the final cut of the film. So there you go. But he is, I guess the directors remembered another person. Who knows? Maybe if they make another Ant-Man film, then the next one will have Dan Aykroyd in it or somebody else from that skin. I don't know who else is left. Jane Curtin? Oh, that would be cool. Margot Kidder, sadly, is no longer with us. Lorraine Newman was in that skit. John Belushi's gone, so he can't be back. I forget who else was in that skit. Anyway, back to Ant-Man and the Wasp, going on a weird tangent there. So anyway, so yeah, again, like I said, my gut reaction was it was a fun movie. And if you are planning to go see it, then definitely go see it. You may like it. I really enjoyed it. It is funny. It's got a lot of great action. Another thing, too, that I liked about it, without giving anything away, is that these other characters, especially Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer, have a much bigger role in this one than they did in the other films. They're actually more main characters in this film. Matter of fact, probably the only thing that I was a little bit disappointed with was the fact that I think that Evangeline Lilly didn't have as much to do in this movie as she did in the last one. And especially considering the fact that the film is called Ant-Man and the Wasp, you would expect her to have more. But one thing you could probably assume is the Wasp may not necessarily refer to her. The Wasp could be referring to her mom. Michelle Pfeiffer was the Wasp, and Michelle Pfeiffer's character is very important in this movie. And she has a lot to do in this one, as does Michael Douglas. It's always why it's always interesting. And it was so, like I said, it was a lot of fun. So go check it out. It's pretty cool. The special effects were great. The new actress, whose name I can't remember, who plays Cassie in it, she's adorable. She's great. She really holds her own against Paul Rudd. And Paul Rudd's not an easy actor to hold your own against because he is such a great comedic actor, and he is a good dramatic actor, too. And I forget the actor's name who plays Kang the Conqueror in it. Again, I should probably look these up. But anyway, there are names who will become, I like to think, household names in the future because the actor who plays Kang is, he steals the show. He plays a great villain in it. But what's great, one of the things that I like about a film like this is that the villain in this one, he doesn't ham it up. It's not like a Darth Vader type of villain or a Dracula or whatever who he just walks around with a Dr. Evil, for example, from the Austin Powers films, who's just evil to be evil. And this guy actually has a point, and he's kind of sympathetic, even if you do fear him and you realize he needs to be stopped because he's not necessarily pure evil, but what he wants to do is. And in many ways, it's obviously that the Marvel Studios and Kevin Feige, the head of Marvel Studios, is definitely trying to take Marvel Studios into the next level. After they finished up with Thanos and that whole storyline, now he's trying to establish a new villain and try to do something else. And all the Marvel DC, Disney Plus television shows are leading up to tie into the films and take us into the next. And this film is supposed to introduce us to, and did, to the next villain. And for comic book fans, we already know who Kang the Conqueror is, and you know that he is pretty bad, and you don't mess with him. And so he's introduced in this one, and you realize, okay, I understand why he wants to do what he wants to do, but in that way. And because Thanos had an agenda which wasn't really that wrong. The universe was overpopulated, according to him, and he's not wrong in that. It was just the solution was wrong. I was like, okay, well, to fix that, let's just wipe everybody out. Like, no, that's not how you fix the problem. Yes, it does fix the problem, but that's the wrong way to fix it. And I won't say too much about what Kang wants to do, but anybody who's seen the TV show Loki on Disney Plus, you already know they've already introduced the character on that. So you know what Kang is up to, and you realize, yeah, he needs to be stopped. And so they fight him, and again, no spoiler alerts. The movie, the only thing I'll tell you about the movie, about the ending of the movie, is that it has an ending. That's all I'll tell you about it. I'm not going to tell you what the ending is. I'll just tell you that there is an ending, and like all Marvel films, I will tell you that you need to stay till the very, 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 very end. Wait till the lights come up, because there's two scenes at the end. And I will also say that the final scene of the movie is probably when everybody like myself is probably going to be getting out their phone and going, wait a minute, what the hell does that mean? I won't tell you what the ending is, but I'll tell you at the end of the film, Scott Lang does something, and I had left the theater going, huh? I'm going now. So as soon as I'm done with the show, I'm going to be looking up on my phone going, what did that mean? But anyway, so That's another reaction to the film that I enjoyed, was the fact that, to me, it wasn't one of those movies that was spoon-fed to you. In other words, there's lots of movies that you walk into and you go, okay, they say, here's the plot, here's the story, it, boom, it's over. And you, there's no thinking about it. This is a movie that I think will benefit from a second or third viewing because it's a rather complex story. And like I said, going into it, it wasn't what I expected. So for the most part, I was too busy trying to figure out what was going on and waiting to see, oh, are they going to do this or are they going to do that? But now that the movie's over and I know what they are not going to do, I think that I will enjoy it much better the second time I watch it because I'll go, now I know what's going to happen. Now I can just sit back and try and absorb it and try and figure out what it all meant. In other words, it's kind of, and I'm not trying to put it up on the same level as, but in some ways it's kind of like movies like 2001, A Space Odyssey. If you've ever seen 2001, A Space Odyssey, you know that it's a movie that doesn't make a damn bit of sense. When you left going, after that movie's over, you left going, what? The guy's a big baby? What? Huh? And he's looking at Earth. He's a giant. He's an infant. He's a fetus. Wait a minute. I'm confused. And in some ways, I think Ant-Man can be that way because it's a complex story. And I think it's one of those ones where if you sit back and you think about it again, you may hate it more. Or you may be like me and you may go, oh, I didn't get that. I didn't catch that. Oh, now this actually makes sense because of, and now I see where they may be going because of. So, I don't know. I'm going to go try to see the movie again. I'm definitely, probably, maybe not this weekend, probably next week. We'll see. And I'll go check it out. But I'll definitely be picking it up on DVD with all my other Marvel films and be watching it again. And then, and maybe by that point, once I get it on video and I watch it again, and other Marvel films will have come out by then, and I've forgotten about it. But still, I'll probably watch it again and go, oh, that's cool. That's the other thing, too. So, again, my gut reaction to the film is that it was a fun ride. Am I putting it up against, well, should I say, am I putting it up on the same level as the other Marvel films? No, I'm not. Mostly because some of the other Marvel, the best Marvel films, I will say, for me, was probably the two Infinity War and Endgame, and the Spider-Man Far From Home, or No Way Home, actually, the last Spider-Man, No Way Home. Those are and the Black Panther films, I would probably say, the first Iron Man, definitely, Captain America, actually all three Captain America films, definitely also. Or there's some of my, they're the ones that I think were the best ones. Partially because not only was the story and the action good, but there was also an emotional center to the movie. The first Ant-Man movie, actually, I think is better because of that, too. Because it has there's this emotional center to the movie where you feel for Scott. You feel for the main character because there's a lot of stuff going on with them that isn't pleasant. The last Spider-Man movie, I actually got really caught up with because of the emotional turmoil that Spider-Man goes through. And there's that, if for those of you who have seen the movie, there's, to me, my favorite scene is after, again, I'll try not to do any spoiler here, so I'll just say that someone dies in the movie, and it's not Peter Parker, but it's someone, you know, that Peter Parker is close to. And so he goes off, and he's, you know, crushed because he believes it's his fault, kind of is, and he's now distraught and in tears, doesn't know what to do. So the other two Spider-Men from the alternate universes come and see him. They have this great scene that is just so emotional that I remember getting this coat caught up with it. I felt what Peter Parker was feeling. I understood it. And I was like, oh, my God, this is great storytelling, where you get so caught up in the story that you feel what the characters feel. Now, with this movie, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that there was any point of the story where you were so caught up with any of the characters' emotional turmoil. It was just basically one big action-packed, oh, my God, there's a bad guy, we have to defeat him storyline. And that's fine. That's not every movie is going to be a tearjerker. Not every movie is going to have that same type of angst. This past week, I watched the Muppet movies, the original one, and the one with Jason Segel. And I felt that the one thing that was great about those movies was they had that same thing. when I watched, again, for the first time in decades, the original Muppet movie, I'd forgotten how, right from the very beginning, that first scene, they have that great song, the Rainbow Connection, probably one of the greatest, such a great, one of the greatest songs ever written for a film, and definitely the greatest song ever written for a Muppet. And you just feel right away, the first 5 minutes of that movie, the angst and the turmoil that that frog is going through. And to me, that's great storytelling. That's great movie making right there, that you actually care what this felt puppet cares about. It doesn't even really look like a frog, but we believe that it is. And it starts to talk, and we immediately get caught up in it. At least I do. And when he's singing that Rainbow Connection song, I felt like I was ready to burst out in tears, because I'm going, yes, I get it. I feel it. Me too. I want to find out what that Rainbow Connection is. The lovers, the dreamers, and me. That's me. It's me, Kermit, just like you. And when Kermit has his moment of doubt or whatever, you understand it. You feel it. You're like, oh my God, yes, I get you, Mup. I get you, Muppet. I feel that way too sometimes. And that's, to me, that's just great storytelling. And again, I didn't feel that was so much true with this movie. This movie is just a simple action adventure film, and it's a good action. It's a good one. It's a science fiction film. It's a special effects extravaganza, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. So go check it out. Like I always say, don't take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself, because the only person whose opinion really matters is yours, not mine. Maybe I can give you something to think about while you're going to see the movie. But so go get your tickets. Go buy some popcorn. And if you like just having fun, but of course I will warn you, if you haven't seen any of the other Avengers movies, it's the first Avengers film you've ever seen, you're going to be really confused. You're going to be really confused. You're like, what? Huh? But for comic book fans, the thing I also loved was that the character of Kang the Conqueror looked like Kang from the comic book. They gave him the costume was appropriate. It looked like it was the same colors. It was the same design. It was everything. And so for comic book fans, they probably will love the fact that it's an appropriate Kang. I know that when I was at the theater, I could hear the audience groaning when they played the trailer for the new Little Mermaid, because God forbid, in the Little Mermaid, they cast somebody who doesn't look like Ariel was drawn in the original comic book, in the original cartoon film. Yes, the new actress is not the same ethnic as the original drawing of Ariel. And Ariel was based on, I forget her name now, the actress that she was based on. I can picture her. She was in Who's the Boss? I can't remember. Anyway, Alyssa Milano, I just remembered. Thank you, who just yelled that into my ear. Alyssa Milano. So, yes, she doesn't look like Alyssa Milano, but hell, Alyssa Milano doesn't look like Alyssa Milano anymore. She's still a beautiful, wonderful, human being, I'm sure, but, she doesn't look like she did when she was on Who's the Boss, because that was my 30 years ago. People age, we look different, it happens. And hopefully it will happen for all of us, because, the worst is the opposite. Anyway, so I'm going to wrap things up. Here we are coming towards the end of my show. I'm on the last minute of the show. So I'll just say, remember, don't take my word for it, but if you are going to take my word for it, go check out Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's a fun ride. You may hate it, you may love it, but I really, really liked it. It was fun. I got my money's worth. So I might go see it again. Anyway, so have a good night, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week about the movie. Take care.